Well, good morning. Over the last several weeks, we've read and heard about the first part of the Sermon on the Mount, known as the Beatitudes, or what a disciple of Jesus looks like in the kingdom of God. And now we move into what it looks like to live out those characteristics and show the kingdom to the world, because that is what the world needs to see from us. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this time to be here together, to hear your word, to worship you, God. We ask that you just fill this place with your Holy Spirit. Be with us as you always are. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's look at our scripture for today. Jesus was sitting and teaching on the mountainside. He finishes the Beatitudes and he looks around him at his disciples and his followers. And he says to them, "You are the salt of the earth." I kind of imagine them looking at each other and going, "What? What's he mean by that?" But let's think about salt. We know that it is vitally necessary for our bodies, for everyday life. It keeps water in our bodies in balance. It's used as a preservative to prevent decay or corruption in meat and other foods. It's used for flavoring, making what we eat taste better. So in regard to the disciples and to us, what does all this mean? To begin with, as salt is necessary for life, so are disciples necessary for the work of the kingdom. A disciple goes into the world and shares the gospel message by words, by actions, by the way they love others. Think about this. We may be the only part of the kingdom some people see in their daily lives. Our attitudes, the way we treat others, the way we love others, should point to the kingdom. If we are not humble, merciful, pure in heart, what kind of a picture of the kingdom are we presenting? One perhaps that doesn't look too different from the world. Our lives and the example we provide are vitally important to the kingdom and the advancement of it. If we consider the preservative aspect of salt, we think about how salt purifies and prevents decay or corruption of whatever it's being applied to. We read in Leviticus that salt was to be added to sacrifices or offerings to God. Perhaps this was to exemplify purification or the preservation from decay or to make the unsavory flavorful. But it made the sacrifice pleasing. Romans 12, 1 through 2, tells us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, holy and pleasing to God. We are called to be a living sacrifice, the salt of the earth, pure and holy, pleasing to God, and a positive influence on the world. If we are living salted, we are showing the world what it means to be a Christian, evidencing the fruit of the Spirit in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Basically, the opposite of what we see in everyday life around us. Hatred, because of our differences, anger, fighting. Don't go on social media if you're looking for peace. It's not there these days. Bullying, constant picking on each other, infidelity, harshness, and generally a complete lack of self-control when it comes to issues that incite emotion. As salt is transformative to that which it is preserving, we as disciples are to be transformative in the environment in which we live. We serve others, we love others, even the unlovable. We speak God's truth to a world that makes up its own truth. Colossians 4, 5 through 6 talks about letting our conversation be full of grace and seasoned with salt. Speaking the truth of the gospel to a world that doesn't believe, so that we might preserve the world from its ever-increasing corruption and decay. Look around you at the world we live in. It's rotting away all around us. If we aren't mixing in some salt of the gospel, then we are allowing that corruption and decay to continue to grow. Think about how it feels to receive some words of grace on a bad day. If we can give those words, what a difference we can make. Because of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit living inside us, we have the power to preserve, to stop the decay, to purify and heal by living and sharing the gospel message with those around us. We can have an influence in this world if we stand firm in our faith. But the world is a big place. And sometimes we feel outnumbered as Christians in an unbelieving culture. Jesus, looking at his disciples on the mountainside that day, would surely have known that they felt small compared to the job they were given. But you are the salt of the earth, he said. Well, think for a moment, if you take a plate of unsavory food, lacking flavor, maybe a little unpalatable, and then you pick up the salt shaker from the table and you shake a little salt on it. A few grains here and there mixed into your food, and suddenly the flavor of the food is enhanced and your taste buds revel in what they're experiencing and you enjoy the entire plate as it satisfies your hunger. We may be few in number, but as we go out into the world, we take the word of God with us and enhance the flavor of this life so that others may see the way to eternal life. Or here's another way to think about it. How does the salt on your popcorn at the movie theater make you feel? Thirsty. Perhaps we can, by our words and actions, make the world thirsty for more of Jesus. When the world can see the change in us because of what Jesus has done in our lives, it creates a thirst for more than this world has to offer. The next part of Matthew 5:13 reminds us that for salt to be effective, it must remain pure and maintain its saltiness. If salt were to become tasteless, Jesus said, it would be useless for anything other than throwing it out and adding it to the dirt we walk on. For salt to become impure, it would have to be contaminated with other substances, and it would no longer have value to us as salt. If we lose our Christ-like flavor, we are no longer useful for the kingdom of God. If we look like the world, live like the world, talk like the world, we cannot influence the world for Christ. We cannot purify, preserve, or flavor the world in a positive way. So how does this happen? Perhaps we allow the world to influence us instead of being influencers for Christ. Last week's passage spoke about persecution. The world will take offense at what we have to say about God. And if we allow fear of persecution to rule over us, we may in turn water down the gospel a bit so that it isn't so offensive to the world. And it starts to lose some of the truth, becoming diluted or contaminated. Or perhaps we forget what it means to be humble and we seek our own glory instead of God's. Or we no longer give mercy where it's needed, or we instigate fights instead of making peace. And perhaps we say things we shouldn't, unkind things that do not represent Jesus to someone else. I'm going to give you an example from my life, and it's one I am very much not proud of. When my children were young, we had a neighbor who had a little girl that was about the same age as my daughter, Kira. Now, this little girl was a handful, and she tested my patience every single time she came over to our house to play. That one particular summer, Kira invited this little girl to come to VBS here at RLC. I have to admit, I was less than thrilled at the prospect of bringing her with us. But I knew it might be her only opportunity to learn about Jesus that summer, so I agreed to bring her each night. Midway through the week, I was exhausted. And the thought of taking this little girl with us one more time was almost more than I could bear. And I made a comment about not wanting to deal with her that day. There was absolutely no grace in what I said. And sadly, I was pretty happy when it turned out she wasn't going to go with us that night. But the next day, she came to play with Kira, and I asked her if she was going to go with us that night. And she said no. When I asked why, boy, did I get a shock. Unbeknownst to me, she had been outside when I made my comment the day before, and she had heard me. She wasn't coming back to VBS because she knew I didn't want her here. My heart still breaks when I see her face in my memory as she threw my own words back at me. I was not salt that summer. And I pray every time I think of her that someone has been a better example of a Christian to her since then, so that she may know the truth of God's love in her life. When we lose our saltiness, we become less effective for the kingdom. Jesus asks us, how can it be made salty again? I think he asked this so that the disciples would truly think about that. If we lose our saltiness, what can we do? I think we have to go back to God's word and spend time in it. We have to remember why Jesus died. We have to repent of our sins and turn back to the one who sacrificed all for us. We must spend time in prayer. We must go back to living out the characteristics of the Beatitudes, giving grace and loving others. We must let Jesus purify our decay. Last week, Pastor Steve talked about living in persecution because of the name of Jesus. And persecution comes from, you might guess it, the decay, the corruption, the rottenness of this world, life without salt. Many people in this world live in fear because of their faith in Jesus. They're insulted, bullied, humiliated, tortured, because they follow the one true God instead of the gods of this world. November is a time when we often remember and pray for the persecuted church around the world. So right now, I'd like to take a few moments and share with you a video from the Voice of the Martyr that they created this year for the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. As we watch it, look for the salt of the earth. I think it will be as evident to you as it was to me the first time I saw this.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Qadus, 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 Rabbal Fad. Zameen Asman ke Khalik Malik. Tera shukr ada karte hain is pyare mauka ke liye ki tune hamare zameen mein bakhsh diya. Tera shukr ada karte hain Khuda da is subah ke liye Khudaanda. Ki tune hamari zameen mein bakhsha. Ki nayi subah de sake Khudaanda. Khuda tera shukr ada karte hain bachon ke liye Khudaanda.
Today in Pakistan, we Christians are second-class citizens. Though we have committed no crime, we are ostracized and banished to the lowest place in society. Often we are forced to leave our villages and our own homes. We cannot get good jobs. And we have no voice in government. What is left for us is servitude. Sewage work. And we know we will never advance. But we have a church, a place where Christians come together to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, to sing His praise, to study His word. For while our country has turned its back on us, God has not. Sometimes it is not easy. The loss, the injustice. So please remember to pray for us. That we will continue to live together in fellowship. That we will continue to see the joy of the Lord in our lives. And that we will persevere in our faith, no matter the cost. And please remember, we are praying for you.
Did you see it? Those Christians in Pakistan, persecuted, given the worst jobs, humiliated daily. Yet they found joy in the midst of their persecution in Jesus, in coming together to worship, in serving with the peace of God filling their hearts. Salt in the midst of corruption and decay. Healing, hoping, loving because of Jesus. Please pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ, that they can stand strong in their faith, serve in the security of knowing that God is for them, even when the world is against them. And may we live as salt of the earth as we serve our Lord and Savior.